Wednesday, 18th of March, Father Mott Gevreis, what is the real vaccine for coronavirus?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
First of all, like as usual, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank all the organizers and for giving me the opportunity to be part. This wonderful statue in the Torah way. When I wrote the title of today's shiur, what's the vaccine for the coronavirus? Someone came over to me and they said that there might be a problem because the government said that you're only allowed to have up to 500 people in one room. They said if we give out the secret of the vaccine for the coronavirus, then we may have more than 500 people, but it seems like we haven't got this problem yet. I imagine that perhaps the Olam is watching.
Online,
so maybe there we have another few hundred people that will listen. The question is as follows. I might change a little bit the title. I think it's more of a question, and this is a question which comes up all the time, and I've heard it from many, many people. And the question is, how do we deal with a panic? We're standing now in a situation that is unprecedented. We've never, ever, since the Second World War, there has never been a situation such that the whole world should be in such chaos as we are standing now. Never, never has it been since the Second World War. And perhaps even then, it wasn't in the entire world. There were probably countries that weren't affected. Now talking about every single country on the universe. Every single country is completely turned upside down. The economy, everything, the schools are closing, the shops are closing. But such people are just completely going mad. Yeah. It's something which, and the problem is that we hear from people who are Amina Prime Amina, people who, on a general basis, they haven't got a book, they believe in Hashem, they believe in the Rabbeinu Shleilim, but still they're having such panic attacks, especially when we're talking about people who are more vulnerable, you know, people who could be elderly, who have other health issues. And they're just plain simply in panic. And it's just the proof of the panic that goes on. If you just walk past the shops here, and you see what goes on, how many lines are standing outside, people are buying as if like we're going to a war, like for preparing of the bank, the entire shop, who knows what's going to happen. There's something has to be done about it. And the question is, how do we deal with this panic? Is it justified, and how do we deal with it? What do we do? How do we get rid of this panic? And then the next question which comes up all the time is, you know, we don't understand what goes on in Shemayim. But obviously Hashem has some message for us. Yeah, Hashem doesn't do anything for no reason. Everything Hashem does is for a reason. Hashem is sending this thing. It's something that if it's so many people in discomfort, yeah, people can't go to the regular work, you know, the parents have to be stuck with the kids at home. Hashem, here in England at the moment, hasn't happened yet. But talk about America, the entire America, every Yiddish Haide, it's closed. Every Jewish school is closed, and all the kids are now for the unknown future. No one knows how long this is going to take, and you can imagine having to keep the kids occupied for so long and being stuck in the four walls. It's putting so many people in discomfort, and people who are, you know, who their job is being affected, and you know their money is being affected. There is a message here. Rabbi Shlom is giving us a message. Now, obviously, I'm not certified to know what that message is. But one thing I know, the Gedolim are giving us indications. The Gedolim are telling us different things, and I'd like to share with you perhaps one approach that I heard from one of today's Gedolim, and I'll mention it towards the end. Reb Tzudik HaKoyim, in a cipher, he writes that when Hashem sends something, usually the indication is within the thing itself. Within the thing itself, you could get an idea of what's going on and what could be behind. And obviously the main question will be, once we know what the message is, then we will know what is our job, what do we have to do different now in order to fix the problem and in order to get rid of this discomfort. So again, the question will be, what is the message, and then what is our job, what do we have to do now, how to approach this situation. The next question is, what is the best segila, the most effective thing that one could do in order to be saved, in order to protect himself and his family and his loved ones from this virus, and he shouldn't be affected with it, shouldn't damage his health, it shouldn't leave any permanent damage. What is the most effective thing a person could do? So obviously we have heard various different gedolim, different people say different things. everything is true, everything is right, but we'll have to start from the basics. You know, what's the basics, and then always everything else is obviously could also be effective and could be helpful, but first we have to know what the basics are. Pardon?
Isolation,
yeah. We may get to that if we'll have enough time. I don't think we'll have enough time to cover everything, but we'll try to cover as much as we could. One more final question. We find a very interesting thing when it comes to the Makkos. We're coming up now to Pesach, Chag HaPesach, which we all know the Eden came out of Mitzrayim, and the Rebbeinu Shloimeh sent us the 10 Makkos, sent the Mitzrayim the 10 Makkos. So we find a very, very interesting thing. The Rebbeinu Shloimeh gave the first 9 Makkos to the Mitzrayim, which is Dan, Tzfadaya, Kinem, Urev, Deve, all of them, before he came to the very last one, which was Makkos Bechoris, which was a Magaife, was something that he killed the Mitzrayim, the elders of the Mitzrayim. He made a pause. And he told the Klal Yisrael, before we go on to the 10th one, you have to do something about it. You have to be Makrib the Korban Pesach. Once you're going to be Makrib the Korban Pesach, then we can go on to the next Makkah, which is Makkos Bechoris. Now what that indicates is that it seems like, to a certain extent, Klal Yisrael should have had the same fate as the Makkos Bechoris. The same Magaif, the same disease that killed all the firstborns of the Mitzrayim should have been on Klal Yisrael. And in order for the Klal Yisrael to save themselves, they needed to do this Makkos Bechoris. That will be the key to save them from the same fate as the Mitzrayim, and that would save the elders from being killed. There's some connection here between the Korban Pesach and Yidden being saved from Makkos Bechoris. So the question is, what is the connection? Now, I will share with you a yesod, which every person very often hears very nice things, and at some point people have insights. And very often it makes changes in their life. They have an insight which completely changes them. But probably most people could tell that they once had something which changed their life completely. Yeah, you could very often hear things, which gives you some inspiration. But then at some point you hear something which completely changes your life. Now this insight that I'm sharing with you today, I could just speak for myself. For me, this has changed my life. But like from one end to the other end. And I've shared this thing with numerous other people, and obviously it's bigger than what we're going to say now. I'm just going to take out the main point, because I think it may be helpful for everyone. But I could just say that for anyone who I've shared it with, it's changed them completely. And the concept is as follows. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam created a world. What was the purpose of the creation of the world? It was the height of the B'yosav, that it should be good for us. Yeah, the Rebbeinu Shloimeh created the world that we should have a place where we will feel secure and we will be secure, and He will take care of all of our needs. We will not have to take care of everything. He will take care of everything. He will protect us. We will be successful. We will be happy. We will be b'shalva. We will be tranquil, we'll be serene, we won't have any problems, we won't have any worries. It'll be basically living in Gan Eden. Yeah? That was basically living in paradise. That was basically the way that he wanted the world to be built. Now, in this world of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, there's no place for any negative emotions, which includes there's no place for depression, there's no place for worries, there's no place for anxiety, there's no place for anything, guilt, for any of the negative emotions a person goes through. There's no place for that in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's world. But there's one condition. In order to live in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's world, it has to be the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's world, which means you have to understand and have to really see it, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, He is behind everything. That He levadoi usu v'oise v'yase l'chol hamasim. That is, in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's world, He is what created, He is what does everything. He moves every tiny little thing, He is the one who is behind everything. Now why is it that we see so many people, and especially in our generation, more than ever, people are suffering from depression, people are suffering from anxiety like never before. People are suffering from all different types of, the amount of medication that people take to get rid of all the negative emotions, the panic attacks, is unprecedented. We've never had such a situation before. Why is that? If it's true that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created the world in a way that we should be happy and we should constantly be happy, then why is it that so many people are unhappy? The answer to that question is a yisod of the Baal Shem Tov. And basically the yisod is, it's based on a yisod of the Baal Shem Tov and of a yisod on the Chovos HaLevavos, which says people create their own imaginary worlds. They create their own illusionary worlds, which is created by the thought. Which means, when a person comes along, and he does not see that the Ribbono Shel Olam is behind everything, he sees that so-and-so did something bad to me, he did something to me, and it causes me to become angry. Now, why am I angry? I'm angry for one reason, because I don't see that the Ribbono Shel Olam is behind it. I see that as if he did things himself. Now, this is not the Ribbono Shel Olam's world. In the Ribbono Shel Olam's world, there's no one that could do anything to me. There's only the Ribbono Shel Olam that could do things to me. So as soon as I see as if this individual did something to me, I have now created my own imaginary world, which does not really exist, but it is an imaginary world. It's an imaginary world, a world that there are people that could do some things to me bad, and there are things that could happen bad, and there are, you know, there is a nature that happens, that people wake up in the morning, people go to sleep at night. This is not the real world, it's not the Ribbono Shel Olam's world. Now what happens is something very, very frightening. What the Ribbono Shel Olam says is, as long as you live in my world, I'll take care of everything, I'll protect you. As soon as you have created your own imaginary world, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, no problem. You want to create a world for yourself, take care of yourself, no problem, I'll let you take care of things yourself. Now why is that so frightening? Because if the person has to take care of himself, then that's bad news. Because usually people, it's not within our, you know, within our ability to protect ourselves. People can't do, you know, they can do the basics, they can try and eat, they can try and sleep, they can't save themselves from a disaster, from a coronavirus, from an earthquake. These things are beyond them. Mashainkun, as long as a person lives in the Ribbono Shel Olam's world, then he's protected from everything. Now what does one have to do? Well, a person has to do is very simple. As soon as he created his own imaginary world, he has to make sure, as fast as his feet could carry him, go back to the Ribbono Shel Olam's world. How is that? Very simple. Simply by acknowledging and by seeing that the Ribbono Shel Olam is behind everything. That's all he has to do, and then he goes back. Now the Ribbono Shel Olam created in each person, a self-ilam, a little ilam system that goes off as soon as he is not in the right place. As soon as, you know, a person goes and he drives and he by mistake goes to the wrong place, then there's something that starts talking. The navigator starts telling him you're in the wrong place. Ribbono Shel Olam put in each person a natural indicator that tells him that he is on the wrong place, he's in the wrong world. What is that? That is all the negative emotions that a person feels. If at any given moment a person all of a sudden feels depressed, and that's one, telling him one thing. It's telling him, one second, you're not in the Ribbono Shel Olam's world. Because if you would really be in the Ribbono Shel Olam's world, in other words, i.e., if you would really see for yourself that the Ribbono Shel Olam is behind everything, there will be no place for depression. Depression will not come in. Now, I haven't got time to go through everything, but this curriculum takes in, you know, I've, for myself, I've written it out, basically gone through every single emotion, and how, by living in the Ribbono Shel Olam's world, that gets rid of every single type of negative emotion that a person has ever gone through, this is able to take care of it. And I've spoken to numerous people who have suffered, who are on medication for years for depression, and after really internalizing this concept, they got rid of all the medication, they didn't need medication anymore. And that takes care of everything, and we haven't got the time to go through everything. I'll just talk about the point that is relevant to us now, which is the point of the panic attacks that people are going through now when it comes to this thing of the coronavirus. And I'll just give one example of how this, by living in the Ribbono Shel Olam's world, there will be no place for this panic attack. So the first question is, what causes people to be in a panic? Yes, so let's talk about someone who Khalil is vulnerable and someone who, you know, what causes them to be panic? There's two things that are causing the people to be panic. Number one is because in their eyes there is a loose lion which is running through the streets with no control. No one is able to control him. There's a lion which is going wild. That, you know, there's no one that can stop him. He's how quickly this thing is spreading is something which is unbelievable. How quickly it's spreading in seconds. Like all you need is one person to be in the room and Khalil, everyone could be affected. Right? It's something which they've never seen, something which spreads, something as contagious as this. And in their eyes, you see something which is out of control. If you would be on the street and you would see a bear running in the streets wild, you would be in a panic because it is something which is running without control. Especially when you see the pictures of the virus, you know, they show it like it looks like an octopus, like a ball with feet, and it goes. It looks like it causes you to be. Yeah. So no wonder people are in a panic. Now that's one thing. And the second reason is because people feel at loss. They're not used to being in a situation where they haven't got anything they could do to help themselves. In the modern world, with our technology that we have now, you know, how sophisticated we're now, we have basically a solution for any problem. Now, to be in a situation where you haven't got a solution for the problem, that is something which is catching people off guard, and that's why people are turning into a panic. So these are the two things really which are, you know, to pinpoint it, something which is out of control and it's spreading, you know, so quickly, and number two, there's nothing that we could do to help ourselves. So why, when you live in the Ribbono Shel Olam's world, are those two things not really true? Well, the answer is very simple. There's no such thing that the virus is contagious and it just spreads out just like that. It's not true. There is a virus here that the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's called coronavirus, and the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's the one who sent it out, and he puts a little GPS, system into the coronavirus, and he tells him, I want you to go to this fellow, and I want you to go to that fellow. Now, it's not the fact that because I was standing next to someone who was affected, so therefore I was also affected. No, it works very different. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted for me the person to be affected, so what did he do? He caused him to be standing next to someone else who had it, so this way he'll be able to catch it. Now, if it wouldn't be beshared for him, if it wouldn't be preordained for him to get this virus, then even if he would be standing next to this fellow, nothing would have happened. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam would want him to have it, and even if he would be isolated in his house and he wouldn't see anyone for 5 months, he still would be affected. It has nothing to do with the fact that I was standing next to him and I was not standing next to him. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam has a clear-cut path for each. He sends out the coronavirus, I want you to go here, I want you to go there, I want you to go to this person, to that person, and he's the one who stands behind everything. So there's nothing which is out of control. Everything is 100% in complete control, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is control of everything. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean that we don't have to do our shtadlus, and we may get to that in a minute. And the thing is, the Gemara says it clearly, the Gemara by the Zurid of Fli and Hai says it clearly, the Rishna Gemara is that every Yisirim that the Ribbono Shel Olam sends out to a person, the Ribbono Shel Olam calls in the Yisirim, he calls in this mechle, he calls in this disease before he sends it out, and he calls it in and he says, I want you to make a shvi'ah, to take an oath that you're going to go to this person and you're going to sit inside him for this and this long, and when it's going to come the right amount, and I want you, let's say, to be in him for 2 days, after 2 days I want you all of a sudden to disappear, and only by this doctor and only with this medicine. So basically every choli is, you know, every disease that goes into a person already has a pre-planned a description exactly of how long he has to be in this person and what medicine is going to take him out of this person. So everything is going exactly according to plan. That's number one. And I'm going to get to the second thing in a minute. So as soon as the person knows this, then there's no place for panic anymore, because panic is being caused by the fact that it's out of control. This is not out of control, this is completely within control. Now, why is it so dangerous to be in a panic? The reason why it's so dangerous to be in a panic is for the reason why I mentioned before. Because as soon as the person is in panic, then I don't know where you are. But you definitely are not in the Ribbono Shel Olam's world. Because in the Ribbono Shel Olam, if you would honestly be in the Ribbono Shel Olam's world, there's no place for panic, because nothing is out of control. So what that means is, what that indicates is that you have now created an illusionary world, and your illusionary world, then the disease is out of control. The disease could move without control. So what's the problem with being in your own illusionary world? Very simple. The Benjamin says, okay, so you have created your own world, then I'm taking away my siyata d'shmaya, I'm taking away my protection, and let you take care of yourself. Which is why it's so extremely dangerous to be in that situation. So what the person has to do is, he has to sit down, and he has to drop everything else, and just sit there and internalize this truth. I am living in the Ribbono Shel Olam's world, and everything is within control. The Ribbono Shel Olam is in complete control. The Rebbe Akiva Eiger says in the letter, in his days, there also was a disease that was going around, it was called cholera, and he writes there, one thing, he gives a whole, you know, thing of advice, that you shouldn't make big minyanim, you shouldn't have 15 people davening in each minyan, and then he adds in something very, very important. He says, the person has to be careful, one thing, shaloi lidoik, he should not be worried, number one, and number two, v'shiyach kol min ha'atzus. You should get rid of all types of depression. You should get rid of all, why did it feel that it was so important to tell people to be happy and to be uplifted? For this reason, because as soon as a person is in depression, then he is in major danger, because now he has created his own illusionary world, and he hasn't got the protection of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is something which is extremely dangerous. And that brings us to our second point, which is the Inyan of Tefillah, which is a continuation of this point here. People think the Inyan of Tefillah is, and people are used to davening, obviously all of us daven, all of us pray to the Ribbono Shel Olam. What people generally do is, they cry out to Hashem from a place of desperation, from a place of despair. They feel that, you know, everything is lost, everything is out of control, and they just cry out to Hashem. That is a wrong approach. That is not the right approach. We have to understand, we have connections. we have connections to the one who is in charge of everything. When we talk, it's as if we have been given an appointment to talk to the one who sent out the coronavirus. Not only does he have the ability to protect us from the coronavirus, but he is actually the one who's sending it out. And we have an appointment 3 times a day, and we could talk to him however many times a day we want, and we could talk to him personally, face to face, and we could ask him, please protect us, because he is the one who's giving it to us. And not only that, not only do we have the ability to talk to him, but he is our Father. He is our loving Father. He is our Abu Rahman, who loves us betachlis ahavi. He loves us to the core. So imagine if you would know that your Father who loves you to no extent, he is the one who is actually sending out the coronavirus, then you wouldn't cry out to him from a place of desperation. You would feel empowered. You would feel that I have unbelievable power within me, that I could talk to him at any given moment and ask him, please protect me. Please don't send the coronavirus. Please take away the entire coronavirus from the entire universe. You are talking to him. You are talking to the person who is actually in control. Which is the second reason we mentioned before why people are in a panic, is because they feel that there's nothing they could do. What do you mean there's nothing that you could do? Of course there's something you could do. You could talk to the one who sent out the actual coronavirus and tell him, take it away. As simple as that. So as soon as he internalized this concept, that when you talk to him, you're not talking to a nobody, you are talking to the one who actually sent out the coronavirus, and you can ask him whatever you want, he is in perfect control, then there's no place for the panic anymore. Now, this thing, this concept, and obviously we haven't got time to go through everything, I could just speak for myself and to numerous other people, it changed them. It changed people from suffering from all different types of anxieties and depressions, and to go on to leading a life full of tranquility and serenity and simchas hanefesh. Now, that does not mean that the people who internalize this thing will never have any negative emotions, because we are human beings, and this thing tends to come up again and again. But one thing, the difference is that people who know this concept know what they have to do. That as soon as they feel any form of negative emotion or any form of depression or panic, they know exactly what they have to do. One thing, we have to stop for a moment, refocus ourselves, and go back to the Rebbeinu Shlomo's world. Because to stay in a place where you're suffering from depression is, besides the fact that you're not having, you're not enjoying yourself because you're in depression and a panic, but besides for that, you're now in a place of danger because you haven't got the Siyata Deshmaya and the protection of the Rebbeinu Shlomo, which is why it's so important to do one thing. I'm now internalized that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is behind everything. Now, what is one of the most important ingredients for the person's well-being, emotional well-being, is something which is called a sense of security. People need a sense of security in order to be emotionally well, which is why people who live in these places, let's say in the south of Eretz Yisrael, where the rockets come flying all the time, they suffer from all different types of, they have to go for therapy because they are living in a place where they haven't got this sense of security. Yet, if a person is kidnapped, then very, very rarely do the people come back sane. And the reason for that is because as long as they're within the hands of the kidnappers, they have no idea what's going to happen the next minute, so they've lost their sense of security. People naturally need a sense of security in order to be emotionally well. And the way they do it is by, people do things in order to protect themselves, in order to feel emotionally secure. Well, the Rebbeinu Shlomo does not want, this is the difference. The Rebbeinu Shlomo does not want our sense of security to come from external things and from our own man-made things, from Koyich Rebbeinu Yudi. He wants this sense of security to come from one place, from acknowledging and from feeling that I'm living in the Rebbeinu Shlomo's world. There's no place which is as protected and as secure as the Rebbeinu Shlomo's world. As soon as a person feels this thing, then he feels secure without needing to do any external things to feel secure. He, by default, he feels secure because he feels I am living in the Rebbeinu Shlomo's world. I heard from one of today's greatest tzaddikim of our generation. It's called the Tzaddik Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter. He said, in the word Corona, it indicates both of these concepts. The word is V'nachtu imi bekevi. V'nachtu imi bekevi, the Rambam says, means someone who believes that the world happens by itself and there is a nature and things just happen to happen by itself, diseases come and go, then that's called keri. Keri means it happens by itself. So the Rambam says, illusion. Someone who says that the world happens by itself is v'holachtem imi bekevi, v'holachti gam ani emuchem b'chamas keri. Then I will do the same thing to you. If you pretend as if the world happens by itself, then I will accordingly act the same way. So Dr. Yaakov Meir Shechter, keri is spelled Kuf, Reish, Yid. Korona, the first two letters of Korona is Kuf and Reish, which is Keri, which indicates that a big part of the reason why this was sent is to take people out of the illusionary self of security and put them into the right place. Refocus themselves that they brought down a situation where we feel there's nothing we could do to save ourselves. All we could do is and he says the second thing, which is Tefillah, is also indicated. Korona is Kiri Nu. Kiri Nu means call out to me. Call out, please. Kiri towards Kiri Nu, which is Korona, is Kiri Nu. Call out to Hashem, which is the end of Tefillah. These are the two the basic ingredients that every Eid has to do when we're going through this thing, is to refocus ourselves and to go back into the Rebbeinu Shlomo's world. The Rambam says something very frightening, that someone who thinks that the world is happening by itself, the solution for the Rambam is that he is an achse, harayz emidus of zurias, because all that happens is the Rebbeinu Shlomo makes things become worse. Why is this such a terrible thing? Why do things become worse? I think the answer is very simple, because as soon as the person thinks he lives vakeri, he thinks that things happen by itself, then he is now living in his own imaginary world. He's not living in the Rebbeinu Shlomo's world, so then he hasn't got the protection. So what happens is that things keep on, the disease keeps on spreading. Whereas as soon as the person would believe and understand that the invention is behind everything, he would be back to normal. And I could just give you a simple advice, but that has nothing to do with that. You know, that people very often, the part of the panic comes from constantly listening to all the updates of the news of how many people have died and how many people. Statistics say that percent of people over 70 are going to die. We have to understand that we are not part of the statistics. As soon as we live in the Rebbeinu Shlomo's world, we have nothing to do with the statistics. We are not part of it. Statistics are only meant for people who do not live in the Rebbeinu Shlomo's world. People who live in the Rebbeinu Shlomo's world have a completely different cheshbon, and they are protected constantly. I'll finish off with this one final story, and with that we will finish. There was a Yid called Rebbe Luzer Yoina Zilberman. He lives in Eretz Yisrael, he lives in America, I think he lives, and he deals with Bukhrim who are suffering a bit, and Bukhrim who are, you know, having difficulties in learning. So he gets a telephone call from a parent, from a mother, and the mother calls up and says, please, you have to talk to my son. What's the story? Basically, to make a long story short, the son was thrown out of his yeshiva for doing something minor thing on Purim. Okay, Purim, he wasn't acting, you know, the way he should have acted, and he was basically expelled from the yeshiva for 2 or 3 days, and he was told he shouldn't come back for the next 2 or 3 days. Now, what the manal was hoping is that after 2 or 3 days, he's going to regret what he did, and he's going to come back. Okay. But the problem is, the bucha said, you threw me out, I have no intention of going back to yeshiva, I'm very happy to stay at home, and that's it. So this mother called up this fellow here, this Rabbi Zilberman, and told him, please could you talk to my son, and try and persuade him to want to go back to the yeshiva. So he meets this boy, and this boy says, even before he starts the conversation, he tells him, listen here, I know why I came here, because you're going to try and persuade me to go back to yeshiva, I'm already telling you now, up front, that you're not going to be successful, I have no intention of going back to yeshiva. And he was right, he tried talking to him for an hour, nothing doing. This thing, he tried making another appointment, he met with him 3 times, he gave up. He called back the mother, he said, I am not the right person to do it, I cannot do it. So, after the next day, he gets a telephone call from the mother, and she's simply crying on the phone. He says, listen, you have to help me, there's no one else that can help me. I just about managed to persuade him to want to come to you. If you're not going to help him, then it's a lost case. So he tells the mother, you know what, give me a few minutes to think about it. As he puts down the telephone, he gets another telephone call from a friend. This friend is a Skverechusit. And he says, picks up the phone, and the friend says, Mr. Zilberman, I have just an interesting story to tell you. He says, yeah, what is the story? He said, I went into my Rebbe, now the Skvere Rebbe, I was having difficulty with my business, and I went into my Rebbe and I told him, please give me some good advice how I could save myself. You know, you have to give me some good advice, like a skuller, like something that could save me from it. So the Skvere Rebbe says, I have an unbelievable skiller that can help you from everything. He says, go home, take out a Tehillim, and say a few Kapitlov Tehillim. So he was like, you know, if you, Rebbe, you know, that's not skill. That's, you know, I need a skill. You know, something that actually works. So he says, I have a skill for you. Go home, take out the Tehillim, and say a few Kapitlov Tehillim. It will help. This Rebbe, come on. You know, let's talk about it. So he repeated a few times. It says, the Rebbe told him finally, and he says, listen, hey, it's one thing if this skill has been working for hundreds and thousands of years. This is what our grandparents and great-grandparents and the great-grandmothers, all the years, what did they do when they had a problem? Yeah. Very simple. They took out a simple tehillim and they cried out tears to Hashem from this simple tehillim. He says, why should I look for new skills if this is a skill that works perfectly? It works perfectly fine. I want you to go home and say a few kapitlov tehillim. So this is what this fellow tells this Rabbi Zilberman on the phone, hangs up the phone. So Rabbi Zilberman calls back this mother and says, listen, hey, I just heard this funny story. I don't know why Hashem sent this telephone call to come in this moment. You know what? send your son again tomorrow, but this time I want you and your husband to sit down and tell him that this should be successful. So this mother said, I promise you, this appointment is going to be tomorrow at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Between now and tomorrow 4 o'clock, me and my husband are going to finish the entire tehillim. And that's what they did. To make a long story short, the next morning the boy was back in the shiur. So there is something about the basics. We don't have to look for new skillets. There are many, many skillets. Of course, everything is right and everything could work. But we have to understand there is a basic. There is something that worked for our forefathers and worked for our grandparents and great-grandparents for all the generations. Why should we look for new skillets? There is something which is called a minipshita and something which is called tefillah. This has always worked and this will always work. The Irish dimension should help that this thing should go away as fast as it came. And we should be zoichet to the ge'ilah shleima b'mahayri b'mayni umay.
I don't know if it's the market, I don't know if it's the market.